Welcome back to In the Moment. This week's Images of the Past features a film showing the different stages of construction of the Big Bend Dam on the Missouri River near Fort Thompson. The Army Corps of Engineers started building it in 1959, finished in 1966. There are some rare shots of heavy equipment actually closing the last gap in the embankment as the river rushes down its natural channel for the final time. You can view that film at sdpb.org/images-of-the-past. Big Bend was the last of the six great dams on the upper reaches of the Missouri River. The dams have been the source of some strong positives and, in some people's view, some equally strong negatives, especially when it comes to the environment. SDPB's Brian Gevick spoke last week with Rick Clark, the superintendent of the Missouri National Recreational River in Yankton, about what's being done to address some of the more challenging aspects of trying to manage a major river system.
What has happened to the river environmentally since these main stem dams went online?
In the ensuing now near 60 years since those dams were constructed, certainly there has been some change in the dynamics of the river system, flows, etc., with some effects on ecological processes and species, etc. So we, along with other cooperators, other agencies, the Army Corps of Engineers, the Fish and Wildlife Service, as well as state agencies, are looking at opportunities and ways that we can best balance and mitigate that need for hydropower for navigation, as well as still keeping intact the outstandingly remarkable values that contributed to the Missouri National Recreational River being designated as a component of the National Wild and Scenic River System. The Missouri National Recreational River encompasses the stream reaches or river reaches from below Pickstown, Fort Randall Dam, 39 miles, to our running water access in South Dakota, and then below Gavin's Point Dam to Ponca State Park.
Tell me about that dedication. My understanding is that we're in an anniversary year of sorts.
Yeah, we are. In October of 2018 will be the 50th anniversary of when the National Wild and Scenic Rivers Act was established. And we will be in the 40th year of the Missouri National Recreational Rivers anniversary designation, which is in November of 2018. So we are ramping up, preparing some events, and trying to give some notoriety, if you will, as to the continued relevancy of the Wild and Scenic River System, as well as the Missouri National Recreational River designation, and why it's important in perpetuity to protect these systems, which are a remnant of what used to exist long ago before influences of human intervention.
And what are some of the efforts underway to conserve or restore this system?
Well, we are working in cooperation with other members of the federal family, if you will, the Army Corps of Engineers, the Fish and Wildlife Service, and other entities at the state level under the Missouri River Recovery Implementation Committee, an advisory group that consists of those agencies at the federal, state, and local level, as well as other private industries that represent industry, such as dredging and navigation, to just work at best identifying all interests and making sure that there is a balanced approach as far as how the overall Missouri River system is managed, given all of our respective interests.
But the buck stops basically with the Army Corps, is that correct?
The Army Corps of Engineers, by virtue of their mission, charter, and purpose, and operating the six main stem dams along the Missouri River, clearly have a lead role and responsibility as far as maintaining the river system, operating those dams, and again, doing it in a way that does not have an appreciable adverse effect upon ecological processes, species, or otherwise. Again, it's a balanced approach, working collaboratively, cooperatively, if you will, with these different entities, the National Park Service included, along with the states, the counties, and the wide variety of many interests that the Missouri River is crucial to their primary interest, if you will.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that the Corps is charged with is flood control, and of course in 2010, 2011, South Dakota, well, all up and down the Missouri experienced pretty serious flooding. My understanding is that there were some environmental impacts that are still being studied from that event.
Yes, that's true. Under the umbrella of the Water Resources Development Act, the Missouri River Recovery Implementation Committee was established back in 2008, and a primary focus of that group's effort in the last four-plus years has been to work with the Army Corps of Engineers and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in developing a Missouri River Recovery Management Plan environmental impact statement. So they're looking at a wide variety of influences of the main stem dams upon the Missouri River and developing that plan. One aspect of that is the effects of emergent sandbar habitat within the Missouri River system. Of specific interest of the National Park Service is that habitat in those areas that are important to the Missouri National Recreational River below Pickstown, South Dakota, the Fort Randall Dam, and then also that reach below Gabbett's Point Dam down to Ponca. There were several emergent sandbar habitat areas, islands, if you will, that were established by virtue of that flood, which some are indicating was a 1 in 500-year type of event.
Along with creating habitat, the sedimentation probably created some difficulties for some of the other river users, though.
Yeah, sedimentation is being looked at pretty closely. There is some research underway, most specifically with respect to the sediment loading that is coming into the Missouri River through the Niobrara River system, the lower Niobrara River from the confluence with the Missouri River to the Knox County line is also included under the umbrella of the Missouri National Recreational River designation. But there is relatively significant sediment loading that is being evaluated and researched by a number of different entities to look at long-term what could be done to abate that loading, which is having some effect on the Lewis and Clark Reservoir and the system in general. Our hope in working in developing this Missouri River Recovery Management Plan is to have some portion of these sandbars that will be, you know, set aside indefinitely, where we will enable them to function intended without any intervention. Currently, coordinating with those agencies to enable that to the extent possible.
Does the Corps have in front of it an option that would say, no, we're not going to do that, we're going to make another priority?
Well, as part of the Missouri River Recovery Management Plan, EIS, there's several alternatives that are being evaluated. You know, one is to look at all the emergent sandbar habitat that was established in the aftermath of the 2011 flood and use those areas for the recovery of these three listed species, most primarily the two shorebird species, which is fine, and we're certainly supportive of that, but we're also saying with respect to our mission, there needs to be a portion that would be set aside and not altered, that natural processes would be dictated, and along certain reaches of the river, these emergent sandbar habitats that exist within those reaches would be basically left alone.
Is it possible to predict what this river is going to look like? And let's just talk about the area within the National Recreational River boundaries. Is it possible to tell what that's going to look like in another 50 years, 100 years?
You know, it's hard to really project. Certainly, the overall natural processes have been compromised to some extent by virtue of the operation of the main stem dams. But because it still exudes, in our case, these 98 miles of what comes as close to what would have existed before human intervention and construction of different facilities, it's still pretty intact. We still have all of the outstandingly remarkable values that contributed to that designation. Recreation is one of those, but certainly scenic, geologic, ecological, fish and wildlife diversity, all of that is still here to a large degree as to what would have existed thousands of years ago and even hundreds of years ago when the Lewis and Clark 1804-1806 expedition would have traveled up the Missouri River as part of the Corps of Discovery. So it's hard to say, but if we do our jobs correctly, we will enable nature to have its influence as intended, recognizing that some of the same degree of flooding and pulses and water being somewhat encumbered because it's not a natural process. It has been disturbed to some extent, but we're still seeing remnants of what used to exist, and it's still a pretty highly functioning ecological system, which with respect to the National Park Service, hopefully we will keep it that way to the best of our ability. But it's changed so much over the course of the thousands of years, and it's a new era, with human influences. Clearly it's a new era, but it's not necessarily a bad era. It's still pretty spectacular.
SDPB's Brian Gevick spoke last week with Rick Clark, the superintendent of the Missouri National Recreational River in Yankton. You can view a film of the Big Bend Dam on the Missouri River near Fort Thompson. That's on our website, sdpb.org/images of the past.